be in Genesis chapter 19. And the title, if you have one, I guess the title of this message would be The Present Day. The Present Day. And where do we go from here? Genesis chapter 19, verse 24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew these cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham, and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities which in which Lot dwelt. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we reach out to you this morning as a church. As a church that's in need, Lord, of many things. And Father, sometimes I think that we're a church that needs healing, because I believe every church could do a better job of following you than they're doing. Lord, we want to do our part as your church. And I pray this morning, Lord, with this message that you have given, that I will be able to relay to the people the words that you have spoken unto me. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, when I was working on this sermon, well, let me back up. When I was working on a sermon out of the book of James, and I opened my Bible, it went to Sodom and Gomorrah. It went to Genesis. Well, I'll turn back to James. And I continued to read, looking for the scripture that I felt like God wanted me to have. I dropped my Bible, or it fell off the edge of my chair, went to pick it up. It was open to Genesis, to Sodom and Gomorrah. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, well, you know, the Lord must want me to use that. So I started this looking at the scripture and working in the scripture to see exactly what it was that God wanted me to bring out. And I couldn't find it. So finally I just had to say, Lord, this is your scripture. Tell me what it is you want me to relay to the people, because I don't know. Well, one of the first things that he told me is, we all know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. We understand what happened, and we understand why. But this morning, we're going to kind of review about what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. And why? One of the first things that I researched and found was that a lot of the churches were not cohesive. They came together, they worshiped, but they weren't cohesive. There was little groups here and a little group there. You know, cliques that we have in big churches that I was so glad to get away from. And these churches began to pull against each other, because this clique wanted this, that clique wanted that, this one wanted this, the one back here didn't have any idea what they wanted. But this happened in churches even all the way through the New Testament. And it happens to churches today. We've had one of the largest churches in the Van Zandt County area has had a recent split. We have pastors who are losing their health, and losing sleep over what's going on at the churches. But you know, it's up to the leadership of the church to help the healing process. Amen. In fact, it's up to the pastor of the church to start the healing process.
Right.
And I think maybe in those days, I don't understand the preaching of the Old Testament. Not what the Old Testament says, but the preachers that were there spreading the word at that time. Because a lot of the word that they spread was corrupted. And it happened the same way in the New Testament. So you see, it just passes along with the generations. But Sodom was a city that had begun to have a certain stench, a certain smell to travelers and to inhabitants. We want the smell in our churches to be one of love, one of togetherness. Every one of you men that got up and came up here a while ago, y'all my brothers. We can talk like brothers. We can get mad at each other like brothers, but we can still love each other like brothers. Women, y'all are my sisters. And I got to tell you, the men tell me more of what to do than the women do. But the thing is, they don't come to me with things about what I need to do. They come to me and make me aware of things. I go to them and make them aware of things that I see. And that's what we need to do as brothers and sisters. That was not going on in Sodom and Gomorrah because there wasn't that many Christians there. You remember the Lord saying, if you can find 100 Christians, well, what if I can only find 60? Okay, if you can find 60, well, what if I can only find 40? Well, okay, if you find 40. Got down to 10. Couldn't even find 10 Christians in the whole desert oasis town. So it had a stench. But don't you know that if that church smelled to the people that came in there, what in the world it must have smelled like to the Lord? We want our churches to send up a heavenly fragrance, a fragrance of brotherly and sisterly love, a fragrance of togetherness. Why? Because we're here to worship Him. He wants us to be together in one accord. My opinion may be different than your opinion, but we can agree to disagree. But that doesn't mean that we hate each other. In Sodom and Gomorrah, they hated Christians there. You remember that it said that the sins of the city were grieving the people of God. It grieved their hearts to see their city that way. It grieves our hearts when we see our churches that way, with divisiveness. There was nothing that they could do to eradicate the sin that had overtaken the city. That may be true. Do we have sin in our churches? Well, I tell you what, every one of us can raise our hand. Because we are all human. And as long as we're human living on this earth, we're going to have sins. Whether they be sins of omission or commission. I can raise my hand and say, y'all can look at me because I'm a sinner saved by grace. Amen. Y'all are the same thing. Sinners saved by grace. There's no difference. We're all together. God answered that call by dealing with Abraham. And God sent two angels to the city to visit and then come back and make a report to him. So let's talk about these two angels for a minute. These two angels were strangers in the land.
right? They've never been there. I wonder what it smelled like to them. I wonder if they kind of turned up their nose and wondered what's happening. What's going on in this city? This city is sinful. Why is this happening? There were men in the city that desired that the visitors be given to them to have their way with them. Well, you know, some of the things committed in that city were, number one, homosexuality, which is forbidden in the Bible. Number two, depravity. Number three, corruption. Number four was wickedness. And number five was the crimes that come because of the first four things. It was a place that was overrun by adults behaving in sexually immoral ways. There were stabbings and beatings. The men of the town wanted the two angels sent out to them so they could have their way with them. It was a place that God looked upon with sorrow and displeasure. Well, let's bring this sort of up today. You remember when you used to watch TV and didn't see a man and a woman in the bed, in the same bed at the same time? Remember how Ricky and Lucy had their twin beds? That was something you didn't see. And if you did see them, then they had on pajamas that covered from here to their feet. Remember that? Remember when it was okay to let for the kids to watch the commercials on TV? You remember when the entire family used to wear pajamas to bed at night? That was the Christmas thing around our house. Everybody, on about 7, 8 o'clock on Christmas Eve, everybody went and got their shower, put on their pajamas, put a robe on, put their house shoes on, and come to the living room to see what was under the tree. And the first thing we did, have prayer. The second thing that we did, read the Bible. Read the Christmas story. You remember when the family used to eat meals together at the table? How many of you eat at the table now? Whether you got kids at home or not, how many of you eat at the table? I'm only raising mine halfway because most of the time I'm in my recliner in the living room. That doesn't happen a lot now with families. Well, they do. Get TV trays and eat in front of the TV. I do that a lot. Well, I don't get the TV tray. I lean my recliner back so the dog don't get my food. You remember when there used to be some words that said something like, "Yes, ma'am." Remember that? "No, ma'am." "Well, yes, sir." "No, sir." Are those used today? You don't hear them very often, but I got to tell you, we've got some kids here in this church, and every time I talk to them, I get a "yes, sir," or a "no, sir." I'm proud of that. What does that mean? That means our parents are doing their job. Our grandparents are doing their job. Our brothers and sisters at the church are doing their job. I don't know if y'all have ever heard me, but if a child asks me something, I answer it "yes, ma'am," with "yes, ma'am," or "no, ma'am," or "yes, sir," or "no, sir." Why would I do that? I want to show them the same respect that they have for me to listen to what I say. It's important. Do you remember when parents talk to their kids about that sex thing instead of waiting for them to go to school and learn about it? Y'all remember that? I do. You remember when parents talk to their kids about crime, about driving, about the Ten Commandments? I remember that too. Well, the scriptures in Genesis 18, chapter 20 through 19, chapter 29 describes the real life of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I want y'all to go home and read that today, because those scriptures describe real life in this country as of August the 6th, 2023.
Amen.
They describe what's going on in our country. Whose fault is it? I think all of us as adults kind of dropped the ball. There's 50 states. There's one nation under God. Isn't that what our pledge says? One nation under God. Wait a minute. Did I say God? Maybe this nation is overcome by Satan. This nation is overcome by sin. And we see that filtering into our churches. Not necessarily the sexual immorality thing. I'm talking about the other sins that were committed. We see that migrating under the doors and around through the doors and in the windows in our churches. Why? Because we're not doing our part. We're not doing our part. This is a nation that's overcome by Satan. And it's overcome by demons. And I believe that. We are in the minority as the children of God. So then we can ask ourselves, if this is so, what is going to come to the United States? What's going to come about? Well, my first thing would be, is this the USA under God? Or is this the nation that's truly the USS, the United States of sin, or the United States of Satan, or the United States of Sodom? Which is it? Is it the United States of America, one nation under God, or is it under Satan or under sin? There's so much going on in our nation right now, I don't even recognize it to what it was when I was born, when I was growing up. It's different. It's changed. So where are we headed? Not just as a nation, but as a people. As a people under God, where are we headed? If we don't listen to each other, if we don't talk to each other, if we don't love each other, we're going to fall into sin and we're going to end up in the same place that they are. We are here as family. What you have in your heart, if you have something to tell me, I want you to come and tell me. It may break my heart too, but we may cry together and overcome it. You know, I would like, whoever it is in here that's perfect, would you just raise your hand? I need to know who that is. I didn't see any hands. Well, I didn't raise mine because I know I'm not perfect. You know why? I'm subject to make mistakes. I'm subject to saying things and they come out and you hear them as meaning one thing and I meant them for something entirely different. I'm human. And any of you out there that's not human, raise your hand and tell me so I'll know. We are all subject to the tentacles of Satan. And if he gets the door open, he's going to come in. You see, Sodom received fire and brimstone. Sodom was destroyed as if it never existed. I wonder if the United States is going to be destroyed in the same way. It could be. 2 Peter 3, verse 10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That's what it says in St. Peter. That was written a long time after Sodom and Gomorrah. God may use this country. I lost my place, I'm sorry. God may use this country as an example to all the earth that He means what He says. If He says, "Come to me, all ye who are heavy laden," He means it. We all should be burdened for each other. We all should be burdened for this church. This isn't my church. It's not your church, is it, Joe? Mark, it's not your church. No, Gary, quit wiping your nose. It's not yours either. It's God's church. I'll try that again. It's God's church.
Amen.
I knew if I got loud, it wouldn't look. It is God's church. And we need to treat it like God's church. We need to allow every person in here to speak their piece. We need to allow every person in here the freedom to ask a question if they have one. We all have that right. How many of you have ever been to a business meeting, like a church business meeting where you do the financials and all that stuff, and you couldn't see a better fight in 15 rounds? I've been there. That's why I'm so thankful that our church covenant says to avoid all paddling, backbiting, and excessive anger, to abstain from the sale of and use of intoxicating drinks, and to be zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior. That's what we're here for, to advance His kingdom. It's not social hour. It's not a country club. I didn't meet you on Sunday for donuts and coffee, although they're good. I'm here because I want to associate with my brothers and sisters whom I love. Not any of you in here are any better than anybody else. I love you all the same. And I hope you love me the same way. Because that's the only way things are going to work, if we work together. So what can we do? Revelation 2:25. Revelation chapter 2, verse 25. Y'all get ready, I'm picking up to go to my devotional last Sunday. If you weren't here last Sunday, that's good. Maybe it'll come over different than it did last Sunday. Revelation chapter 2, verse 25 says, "But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come." Till I come. Hold fast to what we have. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We come here to worship Him, to lift His name up, and to go out and tell others about our God and our Savior. Hold on to what you have. Hold fast till I come. That's assurance. That's assurance. See, they were to hold fast regardless of the wickedness and immorality of all the others in this world. They were to stand fast. They were to refuse to compromise. They were to rest assured that one day Jesus would deliver them from the trials and suffering through which they were passing. Do you think God's going to deliver us from this world that we live in? If you do, raise your hand, because I believe He's coming back and He's going to take me with Him. I'm going to be delivered from this earth and these problems in this earth. But I have to do my part. I have to do my part. We're to rest assured that one day Jesus will deliver us. Because the admonition to all believers is to hold fast. Hold on to everything that you know about God. Everything you've learned about Jesus. Hold on! Till I come back. That's special. So see, you know, everybody can leave here today with an insurance policy. You don't even have to pay a premium on it. Premium's been paid. You have an insurance policy, it means you're going to live forever. Because when He comes here, we're going with Him there. We're going with Him there for all eternity. We have an insurance policy. But just like any other insurance policy, there are things that we have to do. There's conditions. Always bear in mind that on this earth we're pilgrims in a strange land. This world is not our home. We cannot feel at home in this world. We are not of the world, just as Jesus was not of this world. As a Christian, you're not of this world. You're of His world. You're not of this world that we're walking on. I wonder if we'll be able to say we're from Arkansas up in heaven. Okay. But we're not of this world. We're of His world. He bought us. He paid for us. Go get it, man. Go get it. He's offering it. Go get it. If you don't have it, go to Him and get what is offered. If they hated Him in this world, they hate us too. Because we're living in the present day Sodom and Gomorrah. If they persecuted Him, they'll persecute us. If they crucified Him, you may be in a position one of these days that you'll be crucified also. We don't know what's going to happen if we stay here. As we stay here till He comes. But we have the promise that one day, that moment of deliverance will come. But we have the promise that it'll be in a moment. In a twinkling of an eye, He will appear. What are we supposed to do? The conditions. Stand fast. Stand fast. Occupy this world and be faithful to Him until He comes. Then we'll receive the full reward for our faithful labor in our love of the Lord. But I know you can look at some churches, you can look at some church members, you can look at some preachers. You can look at some church leaders. And it will make you wonder, how in the world did they get to that position? That happens in our world today. You have to make sure your leaders' hearts are in the right place. That the leaders of the church hearts are in tune with God. We want for this church what He wants. It's not my decision. It's his decision.
But you know, we don't have to just look at this old ugly world that we're on. There's a song called "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful grace. All else will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." We need to remember that.
When someone disappoints you, look full in the face of God. Let his grace take over. And I got to tell you, Belinda can tell you, sometimes things will be done and I respond in anger before I even think about it. You know what? I got to stop that. How can I stop it? Look full in his face. His glory and his grace. That's all I have to do.
If you do that, I can assure you that the faces of your brothers and sisters, the faces of the people in the church, the faces of those outside the church won't matter. Look in Jesus' face. His glory and his grace, and let things pass. We're serving the Lord Jesus at this church. We serve Jesus Christ. He is the groom. He is the church. And we worship him. You don't worship your pastor or the men of the church. You don't worship religions. You don't worship churches. We're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. We look him square in the face, and the glory and the grace of our God will shine through. I don't want to be one of those preachers or pastors who disappoints. I don't want our church to be disappointing to anyone. I don't want our church members to be a disappointment to anybody. But regardless of what's going on in your life, regardless of the problems in your heart, you'll never be disappointed by the answer you get from Jesus when you pray about it. You'll never be disappointed. We have to do our part. We have to be faithful. We have to claim him. We have to repent of our worldly sin. We have to ask him to live within us and through us. And sometimes we have to reclaim him because we stray down the wrong path. As long as we spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're doing what he wants us to do. As long as we're a church that's preaching Jesus Christ, we're doing what he wants us to do. As long as we're living as people who believe and love and cherish and obey the words of Jesus Christ, we'll never be disappointed. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to be the best that we can be. So this morning, I ask you all to stand. Be faithful. Hold fast. Stand true until Jesus comes again. Because I believe his coming is at hand. I don't think it's very far off. We can only continue from this day forward to live for him. We're where He put us in life. We must continue to plant the seed and let Jesus Christ reap the harvest time. And we must continue to serve Him. So my last words to you in this service this morning. If anything I've said has touched your heart, I ask you to come. If anyone in here has disappointed you, you don't have to do it now, but talk to that person and tell them why you're disappointed. And get it out in the open and get it dealt with and done. But most of all, I want to urge you this morning, beginning right now, this day, for those of you who've really not committed, remember, God has put His word in your heart. Hold fast to what you already have. Hold fast till He comes again, because that day is coming. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You have reached out with this word. Lord, I don't know what all's going on, but Lord, I know You do. I don't know why this message, but Lord, You picked it out 2 weeks ago. But Lord, I do know there's a message there for each of us this morning to be the best that we can be, to hold fast to what we already have until You come. I ask You to bless this invitation, Father, to be anyone here this morning that's never accepted You as Savior. I pray, Lord, that they'll come to You today. If there's anyone here who needs to change the priorities in their life, I pray, Lord, that today is the day that they answer Your call. Father, I leave this invitation in Your hands. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.